If you guys could stand with me, I want us to begin honoring the word of God this morning. Out of John chapter 4, I want us to read verses 23 and 24 together. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn them. You can turn to John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. I want us to read this together. Set our hearts towards the things of God and what God's speaking today. Hasn't he been so good to us already? He's just faithful. John chapter 4 and verses 23 and 24. We're going to read this passage of scripture. We're going to pray and just allow the word of God to transform our lives today. Amen. John chapter 4, verse 23. But the time is coming, indeed, it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way, for God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for your word that is living big on the inside of us. That every single day, every step we take with you is a step that's brighter and brighter. Lord, we ask for your glory to fill this house. We say that we need you. We love you. Lord, we want to serve you and honor you with a heart that is tender and compassionate. Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way in me. And Lord, we want to hear your voice above all else, that it's you who we seek. So God, we commit this time to you, and we say thank you. And Lord, we love you, and we love your church. We give you the highest praise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, smile at someone and have a seat. At the end of December, Pastor Josh looked at the staff and he said, this is going to be a year of worship in 2026. And as a staff, we rally around and we say, that's exactly right. That resonates on the inside of me. That, Lord, you are worthy of all the glory, the honor, and the praise. And God, I want to worship you. And so I want us to answer a few questions today. When my pastor, I don't call him Pastor Josh at home, okay? I don't. But he is my pastor. When he says this is going to be a year of worship, then I start to ask the question, what does it look like to worship the Lord? Who is a worshiper? Aren't you thankful for God's word that the Lord has these answers for us? So then the Holy Spirit took me to John chapter 4. And I know as you came in this morning, you received a handout. If you did not get that handout, we've got ushers that can hand you one. We're going to fill in these blanks here in a few moments. But before we do that, I want us to talk about a conversation that was had in John chapter 4. You see, the Lord took me to that set of scripture that we just read aloud. He says, the Father is looking for those who will worship him. And often we read this scripture, and I truly believe we overcomplicate it. And we start to think, oh, who is God looking for? Oh, they must be someone perfect. They must be someone that's so worthy. They must be someone that's high and mighty. They must be someone that's done this, this, and this. And yet we see a conversation in John chapter 4 where Jesus is looking for a woman who had been married 5 times, was living with a man at that time that she wasn't married to, where Jesus sat down. If you begin in the chapter, and we don't have time to read through this entire chapter, but we see Jesus leaving Judea, and he's going into Galilee, and he decides to take a shortcut through Samaria. But let me tell you something. The Jewish people did not want to take that shortcut. Because between the Samaritans and the Jews, there was extreme dislike and distrust. And yet at the beginning of this chapter, we have a Savior who says, I need to go through Samaria. He goes to sit down at Jacob's well. And what I love so much about this is in the beginning of this chapter, we see that he's tired from walking. He's hungry. And here comes this woman. In that time, a rabbi, he actually shouldn't have even spoken to a woman in public, even his own wife. So the fact that Jesus asks this woman for something to drink, she's just shocked and amazed, thinking, what is happening here? I love so often in our lives that Jesus serves us, but he's asking us first to serve him. And he invites her in to what? A conversation. Jesus invited this woman. He crossed the cultural divide and he invited her in to a conversation that transformed her entire life. And then I began to think about worship and I thought, Lord, worship begins with daily encounters with you that often begin with a conversation, right? A conversation with your Heavenly Father about your life. And then I started to think about this lady and answering that question of who is God looking for? He's looking for worshipers, okay, that will worship him in spirit and in truth. But Jesus was actively pursuing her when she was dead in sin. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. In God searching for those to worship him in spirit and in truth, I'm here to give you good news this morning. The Lord sees you right where you're at today. He is actively pursuing after you. While you were dead in sin, it doesn't matter if you've been saved 20 years, 50 years, if you got saved last night, if you're going to get saved today, the Lord sees you and he is actively pursuing you. And then what I love so much about this passage of scripture with this precious woman, and let's just be frank, if you come across someone who's been married that many times and We often disregard their opinion in life. We think, you have bad judgment. Aren't we so quick to judge? Aren't you thankful that you're not the Savior? And that we have a Savior that is not quick to judge? That he looks at her and he offers her living water. We see her have this natural thinking of like, hey, we don't have a bucket for you. She's in a natural state of mind. You know, I love in this moment too that Jesus begins to share what living water looks like. And as he's sharing this with her, her desires immediately change. She's like, oh, I have to have that. And then right in the middle of this conversation, you know, he has a cultural conversation. He asks her where her husband is, which was something cultural that would take place. But in opening that door, he then opened the door for the Holy Spirit to move and for Jesus to speak a truth in her life. And I begin to think about this conversation of why we worship God. And how at first he's just looking for us. Before we were even looking for him, he was looking for us. And then he loves us so much that when Jesus calls out our sin, it's never from a place of condemnation or shame. It's from a place of transformation and conviction and change. Here he calls out her sin, And it turns into a testimony of God's goodness and grace. You say, why should I worship God today? Because when you were dead in sin, Christ Jesus saw you. And he loved you enough that through the power of the Holy Spirit, he called out the sin that has been weighing you down and keeping you from your true God-given purpose. And then right in the middle of this, of Jesus ministering to this precious woman, ministering about living water, we start to see natural thinking go to a supernatural thinking of an eternal salvation, of a well of living water that will never run dry. I'm a runner, and last year I decided to begin to pray for the Lord to enlarge my capacity for running. So that means my miles increased. Before, when I would run, I'd run 3 miles, no problem, and I would never take water with me. Last year, in increasing my mileage, I got a running vest, I've got water bottles, it's a whole thing now. I've got salt tabs, taking electrolytes. I've realized how much I need water more than ever before. Why? Because I'm running my race. She didn't even realize that she was thirsty until the Lord presented something that was far greater than she could ever imagine. Each of us have a race to run before the Lord. This is why we worship him. This is why he's called us to himself. And then as we continue reading on, the disciples come back, and here Jesus presents himself to her. He says, I am the Messiah. I am the anointed one. I am the chosen one. He presents himself to a woman in sin and says, I am he, the one you've been looking for. And then what I love so much about that, even before that, when Jesus called out her sin, she had a moment of deflection. And she's like, but let me ask you this question, a little bit of an argument. And then Jesus comes back and he says, let me give you a promise. And he promises that right in that region, the people would begin to worship the Lord. And we find that promise fulfilled in Acts chapter 8, whenever Philip goes to Samaria and we see all of these people saved. How often that even in that moment of having a conversation with the Lord, do we deflect the truth? Do we not really want to come in and, okay, you're right, God. And I love that Jesus, right in the middle of it, says, no, I'm not going to argue with you about what's going on in the world today. I'm just going to give you a promise about what I have to say. And then as we move forward, this woman receives Jesus for who he says he is, as the Messiah. And she runs back. And she starts to tell everybody. When the disciples come back, they brought Jesus food. You know, we've been in this 21 days of fasting. And I have read this passage so many times in my life. And I've missed this part. And he looked at him and he said, no, I don't need this type of nourishment. The nourishment that I need, it comes from doing the will of the Father. And I thought, oh, I needed to hear that right now. And you know what I love so much about what took place? Jesus saying, I'm looking for those who will worship me in spirit and in truth. We have a woman who was transformed by the precious love of Christ. Her sin called out in such a way that she realized, I don't want to live, I want living water. That then she has an encounter with the Lord. And you all, our encounters with the Lord will bring others to Jesus. Your encounter with living water was meant to be shared. Your encounter with the Lord will be a testimony of God's faithfulness. Your daily encounters of worship will be a testimony of God's faithfulness. That she tells the town folk, they come running back. Why? Because there is a harvest, and the harvest is now. There are people that are hungry for the things of God, thirsty, that they are so dry on the inside. And they're seeking out everywhere in this world when we have the answer. You guys, they were so excited that Jesus was there. and to hear this testimony that they begged him to stay for 2 more days. And what I love about it is they first came because of what she said. How many of y'all came to church in the beginning because your mama told you you're going to church? But then there was a moment in your life where you began to hear for yourself. And it says, as they began to hear, many believed. We all have to have that moment whenever we begin to believe and we are hearing what the Lord is speaking. There's transformation power. I pray that as we continue on today, that you start to see that Jesus is actively pursuing you. That when you encounter God's love through Christ Jesus, that truth becomes freedom. That you have an honest conversation with God about your life in these times of worship. This year of worship, it's a year to get honest before God. I've known people that have been saved for 40 years and they're still not getting honest with God about their life, and they have horrible marriages. And I'm like, what is going on here? There's freedom in Christ Jesus. Just talk to God. The Holy Spirit will give you a word of truth to cling to that'll transform your life, and you just worship God daily. When you encounter Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, your desires will change. I don't know about you, but I need living water. I love that if you continue on in John chapter 7, Jesus promises living water. And he goes on to tell us in verses 37 through 39, he said, I have living water. And he goes, and it's the Holy Spirit who I've not sent yet. You need power from the Holy Ghost for living water to flow through you. You say, why is that? Because you need help from the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verse 13 says that he'll guide us into all truth, even tell us things to come. That the Holy Spirit, he convicts you of sin. That the Holy Spirit empowers you to live for Christ Jesus. Helps you to understand and study the word of God. Living water flowing through you. Holy Spirit helps me to worship the Lord. Not from my perspective, not from a natural where's the bucket perspective, but from a supernatural, I have Jesus, the greater one, living on the inside of me, and I can worship God every day of my life. We need living water. Why? Because it was meant to be shared. In your encounter, your daily encounters with the Lord in worship, they'll bring people to Jesus. I love that she said, he told me everything about my life. Are you willing to hear the Lord tell you everything about your life? You would be willing if you know what a good father you have. And if you know that in return you receive living water. So this morning, as we are worshiping God in 2026, I want to declare that I am a worshiper. I am a worshiper. I am called to worship God in what? In spirit and in truth. Let's read John 4, 23 through 24 again. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way, for God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So what is a worshiper? The word worshiper in that passage of Scripture actually is a noun. It's a person. That's why we're declaring this morning, that's me. I'm a worshiper of God. Well, a worshiper is an adorer, that you adore God. You're one who worships God and God alone. In Luke chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, This is whenever Jesus had just finished fasting and praying for 40 days, and Satan's throwing every kind of temptation he can, and he comes in and says, I will give you, this is Satan speaking to the Lord, I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, the devil said, because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I will give it all to you if you will worship me. Jesus replied, the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. A worshiper says, I will worship God and God alone. You say, oh, yeah, that's what I do every day. You guys, there are so many idols in this world. Sometimes we can be in service and our own voice becomes an idol because we're thinking about how good we sing or the words we have to say. Heavenly Father, I put my eyes on you. I want to adore you. I want to honor you, Lord. I want to serve you. God, my job isn't about me. This job was given to me because, Lord, it's to bless you. God, I worship you and you alone. It's time to get every idol out of our life that doesn't belong. They all don't belong. What is worship? Well, it's an action verb. An action that is spiritual and truth-rooted, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Worship is an action that is spiritual and truth-rooted, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Has God done something good for you today? That's right. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That every day we have an encounter with the Lord of we're surrendering and committing our lives to you, God. I am laying self down. I die to self every day. And Holy Spirit, I'm going to need your help because I can't do this alone, right? I'm so thankful that God has a way for me to walk and a talk for me to talk. And actions that will bring glory to his name. So how do I worship God in spirit and in truth? Well, let's talk about the word spirit. Spirit is spiritual realities. You're like, all right, what are spiritual realities? God's kingdom. You guys know the beginning of the Lord's Prayer? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That we are a part of the kingdom of God. That's a spiritual reality. That you've been saved, that's a spiritual reality. That was a spiritual transformation. That whenever you made Jesus Lord over your life, that old stony heart was removed and he put in a heart of flesh and he made you a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are gone, all things have become new. A spiritual reality. When you got baptized in water, you testified that Jesus is Lord over your life. When you got baptized in the Holy Spirit filled you up with boldness and power to live for Christ. Spiritual realities. Healing is a spiritual reality. That by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. Faith is a spiritual reality. That God has called us to believe him, to put our trust in him. Righteousness is a spiritual reality. What's righteousness? It's how God sees you through Christ Jesus. That I am right standing with God through Christ Jesus. That's what righteousness is. It's a spiritual reality. Spiritual warfare is a spiritual reality. Heaven is a spiritual reality. We have a lot to worship the Lord about. What's truth? Truth is worship according to the whole counsel of God's word. God is searching for someone to say, I'm a worshiper. And God, I am going to worship you according to your word, empowered by the Holy Spirit, for who you are. and that you are great and greatly to be praised. On the sheet of paper that I gave you, I wrote out seven different ways through the Word of God that we can worship God. The first one is in humility, drawing near to God. I'm going to jump through and start in verse 7. It says, so humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Worshiping God is going before the Lord in a place of repentance and in a place of humility of, Lord, I need you. Whenever we read the word worship throughout John chapter 4, other than the word worshiper, it truly is a posture of kneeling before God, of humbling yourself before the Lord. If God, you're God. I repent for my sin. I want to draw to you and all that I am and all of who you are, Lord. I receive you into my life. We worship God in reverence and awe. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. God, you are great and greatly to be praised. The creator of heaven and earth created you. To reverence God in our life. We worship God in a posture of full surrender. Psalm 95, 6 through 7. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. If only you would listen to his voice today. Kneeling before the Lord. You know, you don't have to just kneel here at this altar. You can kneel in your home by your bed. You can kneel in your home by a prayer chair. We can posture ourselves wherever God is leading us to have a moment with him. Several years ago, I was in a dry place. A dry place. And I didn't have to be, but I was there. Anybody, you've ever been there before? You're like, what am I doing here? I went to this huge conference, and I went with an expectation knowing, Lord, I need to receive a breakthrough right now. I need to receive a breakthrough. Thousands of people at this conference were in worship, and I felt the Holy Spirit ministering to my heart, and he said, I want you to go kneel at the altar. You're going to receive your breakthrough. And I was like, there's no one at the altar. And he said, who are you worshiping, them or me? And I was like, oh, that's right. And I went up there. It was one of those moments. You see, there is a step of faith. Many of you, it's a step of faith to kneel before the Lord. But it was in that moment that I received a breakthrough where the Lord just began to minister and fill me up. Living water. I was drinking from that well that never runs dry. Humbling myself before the Lord in fear and reverence before God. Not cared about what anybody else thought. But posturing of bowing down, knowing he is my maker, and I needed to listen to him. We're to worship God together with other believers. Acts chapter 2, verses 46 through 47. I love this passage of scripture. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. You know, if we start worshiping God together, church is going to be a whole lot more fun. You start worshiping God together, you're going to fellowship, you're going to meet some people, you're going to start praying together, enjoying one another, sharing Jesus. Don't you think it's so much greater to come together and rather than complain about something, grab a hand and praise the Lord? Rather than criticize what's happening, begin to worship God and honor him for his faithfulness and his goodness. Y'all, it goes from natural thinking to what? Spiritual thinking. It's a mindset change. It's making a change to say, whenever I come in contact with a fellow believer, we're going to worship God together. We're going to come together and want to praise, and Lord, I want to please you with my conversation. I want to honor you in the church today. We worship God through prayer and thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. People are all the time wanting to know God's will. There it is. Just told you. Always be joyful. Pray. Never stop praying. And be thankful in all circumstances. You guys, this is daily worship. This is having an encounter with the Lord in spirit and in truth every single day. Of Lord, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to pray all throughout my day. God, I'm going to worship you. God, I'm going to come and grab a hold of your word and plant it deep on the inside of me. Worshiping God is having a spiritual mindset. Romans 8, 5 through 6. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. How many want to live in life and peace? Well, then I want to allow the Holy Spirit to lead the way. That means I need to have a spiritual mindset about what's going on throughout my day. If I recognize that I have gone to a dumpster fire in my thought process, it's time to go to the King of Glory and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for giving me the mind of Christ. I'm putting on my helmet of salvation right now. And Holy Spirit, I need you to come in and just course correct what I'm thinking about today. Take me to a word that I can cling to, a word of truth. And then we worship God through his word. Colossians 3:16. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. We worship God by allowing his word, the message of Jesus Christ, the words of Christ, in all of its richness to fill our lives. You guys, these are daily encounters of worship with the Lord. You say, I'm going to be a worshiper. We're going to worship God in 2026. It's not just here on a Sunday morning when you think you're singing a song unto God that we worship. It's by presenting your body every single day to the Lord and allowing his word to dwell in you by the power of the Holy Spirit to transform your life to what is good and pleasing and acceptable to a heavenly Father who loves you, who created you, who wants to see you free from sin, living a life of purpose, one of joy. You know, your family wants to see you joyful, full of the joy of the Lord. You know, we as your pastors want to see you full of the joy of the Lord, his joy being your strength. You say, well, how do I do that, Pastor? And you just got to start worshiping the Lord. Humble yourself before, get real honest with God today. I wrote down in my notes in a part of my study time, times whenever I was worshiping the Lord, that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, revealed just what I needed in that time of need. One of the times was when I was believing God to have a baby. And the Lord led me to this scripture passage. I wrote down several, but I'm going to read this one. Exodus 23, I didn't think I was going to read this one, but I'm going to read this one. Because I love it and it means so much to me. Exodus 23, 25, and 26. You must serve only the Lord your God, and if you do, I will bless you with food and water, and I will protect you from illness. There will be no miscarriages or infertility in your land, and I will give you long, full lives. I remember a time when I was worshiping God, crying out to Him in the middle of pain, in the middle of suffering, and the Holy Spirit led me to that scripture in my time of worship, and it was a place of freedom. I have here in my notes and one on forgiveness. Led me to Luke whenever Jesus, hanging on the cross, looks out and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I have one in here whenever I felt like all Josh and I were doing, I was just having petty arguments, and the Lord took me to James and showed me what wisdom and gentleness looked like. I have one whenever Satan tried to steal the joy of the church, and the Lord took me to Psalm 26 and reminded me that it's my choice on the joy I receive, no matter what anyone says or does. Don't allow anyone to steal the joy of what God's called you to do. All of this came through times of worship. Just saying, Lord, I need you. Getting honest with God. As we finish up this morning, I'd like for you to just sing through, I love you, Lord. But I want to encourage you all in this. Here in a few moments, we're closing service. I'll have the prayer team come up front. They're going to be up front here. That if you need a prayer of agreement, if you would like to give your life to the Lord, you need saved, that you have never made Jesus Lord over your life, that you want to pray the prayer of salvation and have someone pray with you. If you're believing God for something today, we want you to come up front at the end of service, and we're going to have a prayer team up here that they want to pray with you. But if you just want to come up and kneel for a moment, kneel at your seat. Have a moment. Right when we sing here, as we finish this out, consecrate this before the Lord of God. I'm going to be a worshiper. That I'm going to bow down before you no matter the cost.